Ladies and gentlemen, live from the West Coast, it's time for Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into combat sports.
Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council.
It is absolutely necessary that we all get together, we work together, we respect each other, we like and love each other.
And now, the host of the longest-running fight show in radio and internet history.
I'm getting tired of people running from me in the ring. Mike Tyson, Holyfield, you a bunch of bums. Stand up and be a man and fight a real fighter.
Pedro Fernandez.
Damas y caballeros, bienvenidos, ladies and gentlemen. Emanating, coming at you from the multi-million-dollar sports Bylon Studios. Check it. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide and WBC-TV. Often imitated, but take my word for it, never duplicated. 37, make that 30 plus years now of being on top. My name is Pedro Fernandez, and I'm your modest host, of course. Welcome to the show. This is Ring Talk Live Worldwide. As I said, often imitated, but never duplicated. What I mean by that is I was the original podcast. That's right. When I did this internet thing, I started this internet thing doing boxing on the internet back in 1992. Whoa. Back in 1992, straight up. I've been around a little bit, so we should have some fun this hour. Of course, this is 1 hour of the Saturday show. Canelo Alvarez in action last week, looking all but spectacular, of course, and taking a good undefeated fighter out. And some people tried to say that the Caleb fought scared. I thought he fought respectful, and I think that's just the way to put it. Of course, my man, Raleigh Romero, of course, the articulate one that he isn't, said that he fought scared. And, of course, Teofimo Lopez corrected him afterwards and said that he fought very respectful of Canelo. Yeah, maybe overly respectful, because you know what? You gotta go for it. I mean, sometime in a fight, you have to go for it. If you're fighting Godzilla, you've gotta make a move at some point in time, okay? Caleb Plant, he was sort of content to try to box and look for his opportunities. I'm not trying to say he had the wrong strategy, but then again, what strategy could he have used to prevail? Probably none. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, open phone lines around the planet. I open this up at the top of each hour, just once. 1-800-878-7529. That's 1-800-878-7529. Of course, that's the listener line. If you want to text us here in the studio, the text line, 415-275-1613. That's 415-275-1613. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide from the city by the bay, San Francisco, California. Girl, you're everything
to me. I'm sorry for anyone I let down with this performance. I promise you I wanted this more than anything.
I didn't make it to the WBC convention. It's going to start on Monday, and it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to make it down there. The United States Passport Office said Thursday was a holiday, a federal holiday, so I couldn't get a rush passport. I didn't realize my passport expired, but then again, you know, when you're not traveling all the time, you don't think about stuff like that. But bottom line is, I'm not going to the WBC convention. I wish Mauricio and the entire crew down there in Mexico City the best of luck as far as the convention is concerned. Of course, they're always great events when the WBC puts them on. First class all the way. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, as I said, often imitated but never duplicated. We take it to the Bronx and bring in the Bronx Bomber himself, Mr. Socrates Palmer, boxing's PhD. And sir, let's talk about Canelo Alvarez's performance last week. On a scale of 1 to 10, I give him about a 9.
Yeah. I'm good. For the sake of not sounding redundant, Canelo Alvarez is pretty good. he is sizzle. He has a sizzle and brings the steak at the end of the day. Great performance by Canelo Alvarez against a very good fighter. I didn't give Caleb Plant a chance to win, but I knew he was going to be a solid opponent.
You know, it's sort of tough is that I was talking this morning with Hector about it. I never went into a fight where I was scared of and I knew I was going to lose. You know what I'm saying? I never went into a fight like that. But I wonder how that is as a professional. I've talked about this time and time again, especially when you're the opponent and you're not making $10 million. You're the opponent making $100 a round and you're coming in from Tijuana to fight some guy in San Francisco or something like that. But I wonder what it's like to mentally realize you're not going to win. It never crossed my mind ever.
Yeah, I mean, watching at home, you can tell by the fifth round that Caleb Plant really had nothing for Canelo, you know, nothing to fear. And Canelo and his team have a game plan and they stick to it. You know, they don't care about the scoreboard, you know, because boxing isn't you know, it's not like basketball. You know, if you're down 30 early, you're probably going to lose by 30. No, little by little, they kept chipping away at Caleb Plant. The pressure, not really volume wise, you know, just the mental pressure and that Canelo puts on a fighter is just as effective as physical punches, because you know if you make a mistake, it's a wrap. And that's what happened to Caleb Plant, you know. And those punches that were a lot of people that were looking to knock Canelo and people that were cheerleading, having Caleb Plant ahead due to these little pity-pat shots, didn't realize those shots to the hip, those shots to the arm, they hurt. And that's why Canelo was able to score a devastating knockout. He broke his man down. And he is probably the biggest difference between him and Chavez, because Chavez was still was a masterful guy in cutting off the ring. And Canelo still doesn't do that to me. He still kind of follows guys around. But the devastating power, you know, that he hits people with just takes their will. And you saw that last week. He's the best in the world, hands down.
Without a doubt. And, of course, there's a lot of guys that want to step up and fight him. One of the young men is the undefeated lad. Of course, he's going to be on TV tonight. David Benavidez. You know, I'm high on him, and then I'm not so high on him, because I guess because he had the coke issues and this and that. And I don't know. It's not that I don't want to give him a second chance or a third chance or whatever it is. I mean, I think he's got some great abilities as a fighter. I just don't know if the intangibles are going to bring him down. In other words, even if he had the talent, the skill, and the heart and the will to beat Canelo Alvarez maybe in a year from now, would he be able to put it all together mentally?
That's a great way you put it. I do think that you do need that intangible to beat Canelo, and it starts from the head up. You know, one thing is to have the game plan and to execute it, but everyone's got a plan until they get hit, right? And
in the face.
Benavidez, style-wise, him and Canelo, it's a can't-miss fight, you know, but Canelo has that extra gear, you know, in terms of footwork. I think Canelo adapts to his opponents. When he's fought guys like Billy Joe Saunders and Caleb Plant, he knew those guys didn't have much as far as punching power. Benavidez could hurt you, you know, and he throws a whole lot of shots. So I think you would probably see more of a boxer, and a boxing, maybe a little bit more cautious from Canelo. And Benavidez's feet are very slow. So if that fight ever happens, you know, that's what leads me to believe that despite Benavidez being a very dangerous opponent, I don't know if he's got the foot speed to keep up with him. And let's face it, he came in overweight yesterday.
No. It was 168 with a pound. Time out. The reason why I'm jumping up and down about that, because I remember one time down in Modesto, I made 140. And they screamed. They were jumping in. All kinds of crazy stuff. No. It was 139, give or take a pound. Okay? Right. And when you say to give or take, I'm going to take.
Gotcha. So I stand corrected then. I apologize. But his work ethic outside of the ring has to be questioned. And like you said, you know, everyone deserves a second chance. I mean, partying got caught up, you know, some coke in the system. It hasn't happened since. He's got a late replacement. He should look impressive and take care of business. And hopefully, he's screaming at the end of the night that he wants a shot at Canelo, because it's probably, you know, the best fight out there, for Alvarez.
For the record, cocaine only stays in your system 72 hours. I mean, unless you take a hair test, and that's like goes back months. But I'm trying to say 72 hours is in your system. So these guys are getting popped. These guys who do test positive for cocaine, they're getting popped within 72 hours of getting high.
Which is kind of scary. Yes. I mean, if you're in the middle of camp and you're doing blow, you know, that's, I don't know what to tell you. Workout.
Kid Akeem Antafashi fought Robert Quiroga, I'm getting these names right, for the IBF 115-pound title, and it was back in the 90s. It was a pay-per-view event that Cedric Kushner, the late Cedric Kushner, put on for $14.99. It was cool. It was cool. Coming from Albuquerque, I think, or somewhere in Texas. Anyway, Akeem gets knocked out. He was winning the fight. He gets knocked out about the 13th, 14th round, and he's laying there, and they cart him out in a stretcher and this and that. Anyway, on the way to the hospital, they took off his cup, and they found some cocaine in his cup. Okay. So he didn't want to separate himself from the cocaine. Another guy by the name of Tony Willis fought for the WBC light heavyweight title against Dennis Andres. I'm getting these names right. Man, they're working today. My brain is working. And, down in Arizona. And, I was in his dressing room after the fight. Emmanuel Stewart had him at that point in time. And I was in his dressing room after the fight. And when he came out, I noticed a lump in his sock, you know, down in his sock. And I used to put like autographs in my socks and things like that and all kinds of little good luck charms and stuff. But it wasn't a good luck charm. It was a ball of cocaine.
Wow, that's some stuff.
And another time I saw Roger Mayweather take the drug test for Tony Willis in Las Vegas, in Nevada. I mean, the commissioner came in and gave him the glass to pee in, right? And then he left. I was wild. I go, what kind of testing is this, man? What time out? So I couldn't believe it. So they passed the glass around. I couldn't piss in the glass because, you know, if I did, it would have tested positive for weed. But, I couldn't pee in the glass. I was chuckling. He was looking around for Kenya. So Roger stepped up and Roger was cleaning up the pee in the jar.
That's, wow.
That's boxing, that's, baby.
That is boxing. Wow.
That's boxing, baby.
You would think that that wouldn't happen in 2021, that the commission would be a little bit more,
diligent
and not just there to collect a check.
The guy came in, I'll never forget it. The guy came in with a cup. He goes, here, this is for you. He hands it to him, this and that. And the guy looks around and the guy leaves. And wait, I think between you and I, Sock, I think it was a setup. I think that they knew what time it was and they really didn't want to face any public ridicule. They didn't want to pull the fight to the last minute and he wasn't going to win the whole 9 yards. So they let him do his thing and then they sort of shut up about it. You hear what I'm saying?
Yeah. I mean,
better for the fight to go on and better for the fight to go on, the event to go on and everybody get paid. Because people don't realize when fights get canceled, little old ladies suffer. Would I always say that? Because, you know, you take care of your mother. If you're getting like 10 grand or you're getting some money, all of a sudden you can't take care of your mom.
That's right. You don't get paid.
Yeah, the trickle-down effect is pretty heavy. Anyway, after the break, let's go to an early break, Cuddy. After the break, we will talk about, of course, Gennady Golovkin, Triple G, talking about fighting the Japanese guy, Murata. I don't know. I'm not too high on Murata. I never was. Anyway, bottom line is, we'll talk about that more on Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Of course, the boxing's PhD, boxing's true PhD. Mr. Socrates Palmer Jr. will stay with us. You are tuned to Ring Talk, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio, and a live stream on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. Straight up, this is Ring Talk.
Ring Talk, live worldwide, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council. Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez.
You know, just excited to be back. I wish we could do a fight every night. You know me, Pedro.
Yeah, I know you, buddy. That was Nick Charles, formerly of CNN, Showtime, ESPN, you name it. Nick was the man. The man with the most beautiful head of hair in the entire world. He was it. Girls used to watch him on TV and go, oh, the hair. May he rest in peace. Nick Charles. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check it, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA. Let's talk about talking. We're not going to talk about boxing here. We're going to talk about talking because a lot of boxers have become professional talkers. Case in point, Teofimo Lopez, undefeated lightweight champion, acquired that title, of course, by beating the seemingly invincible, although I did bet on him, Vasyl Lomachenko. Of course, he would defeated him over 12 rounds. Pretty decisive one-sided fight there as far as I was concerned, as far as the scorecards were concerned. But at the end of the day, he's going to have allegedly a fight later this month with George Kambosos, a cat from Australia. And then he says he wants to move to 140 pounds. Well, this talking has got me irritated and it's got everybody up in arms. Why do I say this? Because, you know, he's a 135-pound linear champion. He's got the WBC super title, the Ring Magazine title, the titles that matter, okay? And guess what? He wants to move up to 140 pounds. Where's the greatness in this kid? I mean, greatness is staying at a weight and dominating a weight, not jumping around from weight class to weight class to weight class, back and forth, this and that. I think that Teofimo Lopez is a guy is just going to talk his way out of big money paydays because either he's scared of Devin Haney and Ryan Garcia and these guys 135 pounds, or I don't know what more to say. I mean, what more can it be? If you wanted to really reign supreme at 135 pounds, you would either beat Lomachenko once again, of course, probably, you know, if that was to happen, and then, of course, take on the other two guys that I just mentioned. But then again, you don't hear him mentioning that Devin Haney's fighting Jojo Diaz, I think, next month, and we'll see what happens there. But straight up, 135 pounds is where it's at. But one of the big talkers in boxing, another big talker in boxing, Anthony Joshua, talked his way out of a trillion-dollar fight with Tyson Fury. Decided he was going to sneak in one more fight on his Sky Sports contract so he can get away from that and go to the zone. And what happens? He gets beat up. I mean, he got lit up like the White House Christmas tree. I mean, Oleg Usyk beat him up. There was no disputing that decision after 12 rounds. I don't care who you were. All right, just showed how limited Anthony Joshua was. And yes, I was high on Joshua, the 2012 Olympic gold medalist. That being said, we go back to boxing's PhD, Socrates Palmer. I'm tired of guys talking. Do you feel me?
Yeah, and in the era that we're in, it's a lot easier to talk. I mean, social media, everyone now is www.whatever.com. You know, everyone's got a platform. So, and fighters are not shy. You know, they'll stick a cell phone in your face and, you know, they'll say anything. The best fights seem to be happening on Twitter and on Instagram, and it's bad for the sport. I think that I'm kind of on board with you with Teofimo Lopez. He does have some unfinished business.
Lots. I think of
He does. He definitely does. And I think if he fought those guys at a heavier weight class, I don't think you're going to see the best of them. You know, I think this is all those guys are natural lightweights. Despite Devin Haney being the larger out of all of them, he's got a big frame. And Teofimo's not a huge guy at all. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's thick, and maybe he's having trouble making that 135. Maybe he doesn't like it anymore. Doesn't want to put that extra effort. He's married now. I don't know. He might be looking to cash out soon. Yeah. Josh Taylor is a big 140. Josh Taylor's limited, but I think, you know, I'm a big Lopez fan, but I think he lights him up. I think he's a little bit too big for Teofimo, to be honest with you.
Okay.
I think lightweight, he definitely has some unfinished business with Devin Haney. They put on, you know, good back and forth on the zone. It's good as far as hyping up a potential fight. Hopefully they both take care of business, in the next coming month and we get that fight in the spring.
Okay. My man, Frank Warren, isn't happy with the fact that British Sports, or BC Sports, whatever it is BT Sports, is going to be going to DAZN. He says his contract is with the other company, and he might walk away. Is he just trying to renegotiate his new contract?
I think so. I mean, Frank Warren, I'm sure, has made a lot of money, and I don't think, you know, he's working because he wants to work. But I think, yeah, that's one of the best ways to negotiate, right, to make that type of threat.
You do know about Frank Warren's boxing career, right?
Please tell me. Sorry,
okay,
no,
well,
I
mean, he had a one-sided route with Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson beat the snot out of him in a hotel room in the UK one time. Just beat the absolute, you know what, out of him. And another guy whose name I'm slipping right now, but shot him. And he was Terry Marsh, a junior welterweight from from the UK. There's no doubt in my mind that Terry Marsh shot him. Terry Marsh all but admitted it to me when I said to him, "Did you shoot Frank Warren?" And he looked at me and winked his eyes and said, "Why would you think that?" He winked it like 10 times. I mean, why would you think that? Because the guy looked just like you without him. It was like Terry Marsh with a mask. Okay. I asked Warren about that one time. He didn't want to talk about it, but Frank Warren's went up against two fighters. He's 0-2.
Okay. He should do his fighting in the boardroom.
All right. What about Gennady Golovkin and Murata? Why isn't Canelo doing his thing the third time with Gennady Golovkin? Isn't that really one of the bigger fights out there? He seems to not even mention his name anymore.
You know, it's 50-50. You know, some people are kind of tired of it. I mean, it's like they don't want to see a third fight. Some people are kind of dismissing Golovkin, that he would just, you know, get annihilated by Canelo. But let's face it, he's the only guy that has gone 24 rounds with Canelo Alvarez. And yes, Canelo Alvarez has gotten better. And you can say Golovkin's gotten older. Maybe he declined a little bit. If that third fight happens, he'd have to come up to 168 pounds. to do it. You know, Golovkin's a Hall of Famer in my estimate, in my eyes. You know, he's, and what I respect about him that he's fought his entire career at the same weight, and, mm-hmm. and at 39 years old, he still has that discipline.
Yep.
He's got a fight lined up against Murata, who's a good fighter, but I mean, can I take a shot at the WBA? The WBA has a guy that hasn't fought as a champion, that hasn't fought in almost 2 years, and he's a champ. The WBA has my good buddy, Sergio Martinez, ranked number 3.
No!
Yes!
No, not the Sergio Martinez who used to be the world champion. It's like 45 years old.
Unless there's another Sergio Martinez, I mean.
Oh!
It's crazy. Yeah,
okay, so, well, here's the scoop.
We don't have any sponsorship with WBA, right?
No, but I do want to say this, okay? I'm the next WBA ratings I'm coming out, I'm ranked number 4 at heavyweight.
Okay. I'll make Bridger. How's that?
Well, you can make the Bridger gate, but bottom line is I'll be number 4 as a heavyweight, because heavyweights are concerned. The WBA is, of course, under the WBC sponsored this show. The WBA is right. Under a lot of heat from the Association of Boxing Commissions. Of course, they've had to redo their ratings. They did their heavyweight ratings. They did October, and then they did November 1st, and then they did November 2nd. They did 2 sets of heavyweight ratings in 2 days. Why? I don't know. Nefarious, say what you want. Bottom line is, Murata and Triple G are going to collide in the quest in December, I guess, in Germany. And no, take it back. In Japan, Golovkin 41-1-1. Of course, he won loss and the one draw to the aforementioned Canelo Alvarez. Murata 16-2, 13 kills. You know, Japan's always had a soft spot with the WBA. I mean, they've always had. The Orient has always enjoyed a lucrative, I guess is the way I want to put it, a lucrative relationship with the WBA. This is a classic example. If he hasn't fought in 2 years and they didn't declare his title vacant, what does that tell you?
Yeah, I mean, he's a good fighter. It's not a knock. It's not a knock on him. And actually, the Golovkin and Murata really decorated amateur fighters, so it's going to be a good fight.
Okay.
Murata showed me something coming back after that loss against Brent, the middleweight from Minnesota.
Okay. Tonight, Showtime, November 13th, David Benavidez and Kyrone Davis. Davis being the last minute substitute, 169 pounds. What happens real quick? What do you think?
Benavidez looks spectacular, and he breaks him down and wins somewhere between round 6. He stops him.
Okay. Am I the only guy that sort of feels sorry for Gabe Rosado that they keep putting him in these fights that he really not supposed to win? Of course, he's taking on Jaime Munguia tonight, 160 pounds. He's a solid fighter, Rosado.
100% correct. Yes, and that's the fight of the day. I mean, Gabe Rosado, he's really hard not to root for. Yeah, mm-hmm. He's always gives a good effort, and that's what fight fans really respect at the end of the day. That you have a guy that's out there to win. He came in as the underdog against the guy from Uzbekistan and delivered one of the knockouts of the year back in the summer. I think it was in June. And he's right back, you know, against Jaime Munguia. And he is going to test Munguia big time. Like you said, he's not expected to win. To me, he's got to frustrate Munguia. He's got to take Munguia late, steal some rounds, and be careful, because he has shown times where he's been dropped. Okay. It's hard to pick against Munguia, but I'll definitely be rooting for Gabe Rosado. Should be a great fight.
We got like 30 seconds left. Your boy Demetrius Andrade is going to fight next week. Should I want to watch that?
If there's nothing else, what are you going to watch? The World Dart? You going to watch the Dart Championship on the Zone?
If there's nothing else. Oh, that's boxing's PhD telling it like it is, folks. Mr. Socrates Palmer Jr. Say hello to Sebastian and the entire crew. We'll talk soon.
Thank you, my brother. Enjoy the rest of your Saturday.
The one, the only, boxing's PhD Socrates Palmer, exclusively appearing on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, a sports byline presentation. Straight up, Ring Talk returns after the break. We'll take 3 minutes, of course, take a break. We'll come back after the break. We'll talk boxing and a little MMA as well. You are tuned, and we'll talk about some more talking. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Now, more of Ring Talk with Pedro Fernandez, brought to you by the WBC, the World Boxing Council, right here on Sports Byline.
Let the boys harmonize a little bit here. Tower of Power, circa 2007. Larry Bragg's on lead. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Check out Tower of Power at towerofpower.com. Of course, rocking and rolling, 50 years of funk. Those guys got it going on. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, talking about talkers. And I singled out Teofimo Lopez because of the fact that he's talking about moving to 140 pounds after fighting George Kambosos. Now, I know the fight with Kambosos has been canceled six times or postponed six different times. It's got to be a record. It's got to be a record for a prize fight. I can't ever remember in my lifetimes or reading about a fight being postponed six different times. But it's supposed to take place next week. And, of course, it's for the lightweight championship. There's nobody other than Teofimo as a lightweight champion. Straight up, I mean, Devin Haney can call himself the WBC title holder or this and that, or a fractionary champion. But the bottom line is Teofimo's king. Until he gets beat, he's a champion, 135 pounds. Now, he wants to move to 140. I'm against that because, as I said, unfinished business at 135. Devin Haney, right? I didn't mention Ryan Garcia, my favorite guy. Everybody says, knock on. Everybody's trashing Ryan. Ryan, of course, hurt his hand. He hurt his mind. He's got some emotional issues he's come up with in the past 8 or 9 months. But the bottom line is he seemed to have been over them. He was back in training, and he hurt his right hand. So he's had surgery, I believe, on his wrist. So he's going to be out maybe 6 or 7 months. He'll come back in the middle part of 2022. And hopefully he'll come back a focused young man to where he can get his career back on track, because I think that kid was headed for something. I thought he was headed for possible greatness. Hector said he was headed for a knockout loss, but the bottom line is he was headed for something, no doubt about it. So you've got Mejia going with Rosado tonight. Mejia is about a 5-1 favorite. That's long odds. 5-1's a long odds. Canelo was a 10-1 favorite last week in some sports books. I talked about him being a 4-1 favorite because I had seen the odds at 4-1. And then it jumped up to 10-1. So Caliplant didn't have too many latecomers betting on him. The other fight today, of course, is Tim Zhu. Of course, he is take that back. It's going to take place next week. Tim Zhu beating the son of Kasha Zhu, the former world junior welterweight champion. Of course, he had that big fight with Zab Judah there in Las Vegas when Zab got mad when the referee Jay Nady stopped the fight. Jay Nady stands about 6'5". He's like 270 pounds. Dude's a beast, okay? And he's fast, okay? He picked up the stool. Did he try to throw the stool, the box, the ring corn, the ring stool, try to throw it at the referee or something like that? Anyway, that was nice. Zab Judah act like a fool. But Kasha Zhu, of course, the world junior welterweight champion, a man in Oscar De La Hoya avoided like HIV. Believe me, he did. Anyway, Tim Zhu, his son, undefeated, 154 pounds, going to take on Takeshi Inoue. That's going to go down, of course, next week in Australia. After that, they want to talk about a Canelo fight. Why is Jeff Fennec, why is Fight News giving him any play or any press whatsoever when he's talking about pushing a junior middleweight up to super middleweight? That's 14 pounds. 14 pounds, 154 to 168. That's a long way. So you're talking about that, just trying to get some publicity. So at the end of the day, Jeff Fennec, is he on drugs again? Jeff, I'm just kidding. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. You're inside looking to the world of boxing, MMA, of course. There's other fights coming up later in the month. The 27th, I said Teofimo Lopez is going to go with George Kambosos. I thought it was going to happen next week, but I guess it's going to be the week after. Brandon Figueroa on the 27th going up against Stephen Fulton. That's going to be a good fight. Figueroa and Fulton both fight. As far as the Devin Haney situation, starting December the 4th, he's taking on Jojo Diaz, or Joseph Diaz. Diaz, I believe, is a once-beaten young man. He could fight. He's got some skills. He will push Devin Haney, I believe, to an extent. At least he will test Devin Haney as far as how legit is Devin Haney? When he used to be called the email champion and Instagram champion, that kind of good stuff. You know, that stuff was sort of funny, this and that. But he's another guy. Does a lot of talking. I don't know if his father's doing all the talking for him or if his father's really in control of his career, because he doesn't seem to make the right moves at the right time. And he's been around a while now. He's like 25 years old, 26 years old, 25. And now, of course, a WBC title holder at 135. There's a couple of them at 135, but he's one of them. He's one of the big names at 135. But, you know, we'll see what happens when he goes up against Jojo Diaz. Diaz is supposed to be bringing it all, but they say Diaz might be a little small in stature as far as size is concerned when he matches up with Devin Haney. The rest of the year, of course, 2021, the 5th of December, Gervonta Davis taking on Isaac Cruz. Isaac Cruz stepping in at the last minute, of course, not the last minute, but with a month to go, because they pulled my man Raleigh Romero. They pulled Raleigh because he was accused of sexual assault by 6 women. So if you get caught, if you get accused by one, maybe you could like, yeah, I mean, but when he gets to the six, it's sort of like something's wrong. Something's definitely wrong. So Stephen Espinoza, the czar, the Showtime boxing czar, he decided he was going to pull Romero out of that. Romero's still the WBA mandatory at 135 pounds for Davis. If Davis were to stay at 135 pounds, he possibly could fight him next year. But Davis is taking on, you know, you want Gervonta Davis in big fights. I'm not trying to say Isaac Cruz isn't a big fight, but Isaac Cruz is a guy I think that's coming up in weight, and he's probably be outsized. Anytime you're giving up size to Gervonta Davis, man, it's a nightmare. That's Leo Santa Cruz. Leo Santa Cruz gave up size and was boxing his ears until bang. Listen, Tank walks through your stuff. Once he walks through your stuff and disrespects you and doesn't respect you anymore, he's gonna get you. It's either you or him. And guess what? Right now, I'm going with Tank until he gets beat. Why do I say that? Well, it depends on the matches, but definitely with Cruz. I think he's a rollover Cruz. I think this fight will probably go about 8 or 9 rounds, and he'll collect an inside-the-distance win. That's just the way I see it. As far as Chris Eubank Jr. is concerned, he's going on the 11th of next month. You know, I'm not a big fan of Chris Eubank Sr. I mean, the best thing he ever did in my lifetime was when he wore that monocle. I took a picture of him wearing a monocle one time. You know, like, you know, when you're a rich old white guy and you put that little single eyeglass up in your eye? Well, he had a monocle for a while. I thought that was a little cool. But outside of the monocle, wasn't too impressive. 168-pound champion at WBO and 160 pounds, I believe. So Chris Eubank, I shouldn't disrespect him and his abilities, but I just didn't like the way he carried himself. So straight up, his kids are going on the 11th. Now, the 11th, the WBC Bantamweight champion. What can I say? 40 years old. The upset winner last time, taking out that undefeated guy from Europe. We'll talk about Nonito, the Filipino nightmare, Domer. Call him what you want. He's back, and he's a formidable foe for anybody, 118 pounds. Of course, he took the monster Inouye to the edge of the cliff of death, broke some bones in his face, but didn't get the decision after 12 rounds. Maybe that's a fight they want to do one more time, but at the end of the day, Nonito Donaire has done more than you can imagine. A Hall of Famer, no doubt about that. I think it was July 7th, 2007, he knocked out Victor Arcinian, and Victor Arcinian was 112-pound champion of the IBF at that time. They were fighting for the IBF title. So he knocks out Arcinian about the 7th or 8th round to claim the title, and Arcinian was so knocked out that after the fight, he didn't remember being knocked out. That's why you don't interview guys after they get hurt or they've been knocked out. You try not to, because you never know what's going to come out of their mouth. Like the time I interviewed Johnny Tapia. We're in El Paso, Texas. So I've got this big arena. I think they called it the Cox Arena or something like that. But there was this big Coors Arena, something like that. This big arena, it could have held about 15,000 people. And Johnny had about 10,000 people in the house. He didn't look that good in the fight, but he ended up winning the fight on the judge's scorecard. So I said something like to Johnny, like, starting off the interview, "Hey, John, congratulations. You know, we've been a lot of years we've been doing this together, isn't it?" And he goes, "What the F are you talking about? Blah, 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 blah." So you never know what's going to happen as far as an interview is concerned. But Johnny Tapia, definitely the wildest interview going. As far as wild interviews in boxing is concerned today, there really aren't anybody. I saw Tapia was a bit of a nut. I mean, he was a stone cold nut. Camacho, the macho man, Hector Camacho, he tried to entertain you. He was an entertainer. I mean, he was able to do impressions once in a while. And, of course, see, I told you one time he called my ex-wife and gave her a bad time on the phone because she wouldn't let me talk to my daughter when I was trying to call long distance from Atlantic City to San Francisco back in the days when, you know, like $10 a minute or $10 for 3 minutes, something like that. Anyway, bottom line is Hector was a sweetheart when Hector was on. But when Hector was off, Hector was the ugliest guy you ever want to be around. I mean, he just was. That one time I had to beg him to come fight, we weren't going to get paid if he didn't come fight in Puerto Rico. He was going to fight Jorge Vaca. He didn't want to come to the fights. He just didn't want to. I had to beg him. So listen, man, they're going to the child support my kid. No, I've been here a month and a half. I got to get paid. All your fans are waiting for you. A couple more snorts, and then Camacho was off to the arena, where I think they ended in the second round technical draw or something like that. He headbutted Jorge Vaca. But, you know, as far as entertainers are concerned, Lopez is a hell of an entertainer. He can entertain people. Raleigh Romero, if he can gets out of these sexual allegations, I think he can be a decent entertainer as well. Of course, he's sort of funny. I mean, any guy that wears fur in 80-degree weather or like 100-degree weather, you know, I'm going to say he's got an image problem. There's no doubt about that. But Gervonta Davis made fun of him. Say, bro, it's hot as S-H-I, you know what, in here. and you're wearing furs? Anyway, that's the Rolly Romero story. Of course, he will be off until next year, I believe. And of course, I think if the sexual allegations are proved true, do come true, I think he's going to be in some trouble. But unless somebody wants to come up with criminal charges and or civil lawsuits, it's just talk. And right now it's just talk. And I don't think they should have stopped the fight just basically on talk. He wasn't convicted. He wasn't charged. And, you know, I think that's just the way it goes. In other words, if some girl wants to call Showtime on the phone and say, you know what, Rolly Romero's with me a year ago and he roughed me up, this and that, blah, blah, nah, I'm not going to go with that. That's not enough for me. You want to do it in front of the police? You want to do a recorded statement in front of the police and make a charge, a criminal charge? Okay, maybe I can get behind that a little bit more. But I can't get behind all these random charges. In other words, either you prove it or you don't. And if they don't prove it, you know, it's been a payday that's been lost for this guy. And I'm trying to say he can make it up, but who knows where Gervonta Davis will be in 2021. We don't know if he'll be 135 pounds. No, who knows? He may drop down to 130 once again and surprise everybody. Of course, Al Haymon and Floyd Mayweather calling the shots for Gervonta Davis. Is that good or is it bad? I don't know. I think Al Haymon's sort of been good for boxing and bad for boxing. And some of the good for boxing is that he pays fighters well, but some of the bad for boxing is he pays fighters not to fight. And what I mean by that is, case in point, Mikey Garcia. I mean, Mikey Garcia had a contract with Top Rank, Bob Arum's Top Rank, and I think it was for another year and a half, and he was induced to sit the contract out and not fight. So he didn't fight for a year and a half. And then when he came back with Al Haymon, it's been like fights with Errol Spence and fights that, you know, handpicked fights that he's lost. That he's lost, okay? So Mikey Garcia, by getting that, I was told it was $1.9 million, $1.9 million to sit off the shelf for a year and a half. Was that $1.9 million really worth it? Because it may have taken the time off your career. It definitely took away the hunger. I mean, he doesn't want to make 135 pounds anymore. Everybody, to make it in boxing, you've got to get down to your lowest weight and fight guys at your lowest weight. You want to have some type of advantage in size and strength over guys. That's just the way it is. You don't want to be the inferior guy when it comes up for body strength in a boxing ring. You just don't want to. And, of course, size matters in two things. Remember? Pornography and combat sports. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. Your inside look into the world of boxing, MMA. Of course, come to you every Saturday and Sunday, live at 11 a.m. Pacific time. The Saturday show is 1 hour. Of course, you live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, Sirius XM Satellite, Radio Channel 217. And of course, live on Twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel. I'll get to a couple questions after the break. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
To the nightclub. Ring Talk Live Worldwide, brought to you by the WBC with Pedro Fernandez.
Yeah, Pedro, I appreciate it. Say a prayer for me, buddy. And if there's anything I can do for you anytime, you let me know.
Checking it out, watching the man with the fast feet. Got the hippest friends and the bad boogaloo. The big old bag of tricks down to the nightclub. You can get what you want.
My buddy Lenny Williams, I'd like to let the whole song go, but I ain't got enough time. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, your inside look into the world of boxing and MMA, of course. Wow. Somebody just gave me a date to reflect on. September 19, 1980. It was, of course, the Olympic Auditorium, I believe, in Los Angeles, California, or the Sports Arena, one of the LA arenas. Bottom line is Olympic Auditorium. Lupe Pintor prevailed in a WBC 118-pound bantamweight title fight against Johnny Owen in the 12th round. Johnny Owen, of course, was fatally injured in that fight, but according to some stuff that was just sent to me, Johnny was out cold on the canvas, folded over his legs at first like a butchered giraffe. There was an ancient stretcher, no resuscitation equipment, and somebody tried smelling salts. His body was placed like a sacrifice on the stretcher with tender care by his father and others in the corner. And then they face a gauntlet with their silent and still boy. The men carrying the stretcher were abused, had their pockets picked, were hit, kicked, and had urine and beer cups thrown over at them. They screamed back in hate, carried the kid, and made it through to the ambulance. Of course, he would die 2 months later. May he rest in peace, the great Johnny Owen. If there ever was a guy that didn't have a body for boxing, it was Johnny Owen. He was the skinniest guy, if a guy ever looked physically inferior as far as upper body strength was concerned, it was Johnny Owen. Not trying to say, they called him the matchstick. That was his nickname, the matchstick. So Bottom line is, may he rest in peace, but that was a sad day in boxing, no doubt about that. Speaking of sad days, tonight won't be sad. I think that David Benavidez will be a winner. And I guess David Benavidez, of course, is the heir apparent to the next up-and-coming challenger regarding, besides Gennady Golovkin, to Canelo Alvarez. Because outside of, you know, Mr. Benavidez, who do we have? I mean, there isn't too many guys at 168 unless guys want to come down from 175. Canelo's not going anywhere as far as the Charlo brothers are concerned. Of course, one's at 154. The other one's at 160. They hold WBC titles, both of them. They talk about greatness. Another guy's great talkers. Charlo's a fantastic talker. Demetrius Andrade, who fights next week, of course, on DAZN, another great talker. All these guys do is talk, man. You've got to fight. You've got to put your name on the dotted line. You can't say, hey, look, I want to fight this guy. And then when it comes time to, you know, to fight or it's time to sign a contract, you know, oh, I'm doing other things. I've got other plans. Bottom line is, if you want greatness, you've got to go after it with an unbelievable amount of hunger. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide. More Lenny Williams to the break here, of course. Nonito Donaire going to run for president? No. Manny Pacquiao runs for president. Nonito Donaire and Manny Pacquiao not on the same page. I don't think Nonito likes Manny Pacquiao. Personally, I just don't think so. I never thought so. Anyway, you are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide, the Sunday edition. Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time, 2 p.m. Eastern time. Larry Merchant and more tomorrow on Ring Talk Live Worldwide, Sunday, 11 a.m. Pacific time. 2 p.m. Eastern Time, live on Sports Byline, iHeartRadio, SiriusXM, Satellite Radio Channel 217, and of course, twitch.tv, the Sports Byline USA channel for the video stream. Until next time, Rob Hernandez, you're a trip.